Father, we thank you for this morning and thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. We pray that the anointing that the gift of God will stand up, that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Please help us and bless us during the service in the name of Jesus. Everybody says amen. Praise the Lord. Right. So before I share the word, I want to remind you that today is our last day here. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's our last day here. Perhaps we may come back here to do other stuff. Maybe to have some events or have a concert. Do something, but we're just moving on. Amen. Do you believe in moving on? Moving on, and we're trusting God. We don't know if we're going to work, but if you were the people of Israel going to the Red Sea, I guess you wouldn't know if what you were doing would work, isn't it? But you trust the Lord. Hallelujah. When you're taking faith steps, you trust the Lord. You don't take the step because you know everything, because you are assured of everything. If you live like that, you'll never have anything. If you want to see the end from the beginning of everything, you will never have anything. Do you understand? Yeah. Sometimes it's the reason why people don't get married, because they're too obsessed with seeing the end from the beginning. You know, it is a faith walk. Hallelujah. Once you have the right person with you, you're just going to have to trust God. Hallelujah. I know you want to ask me, how do you know you have the right person? Right, but that's a different message. Yeah. Actually, I can show you a book. You go get that book and read that book. And when you're through with it, if you don't have the answer, then come and ask me. Amen. The book is Model Marriage. It's a great book, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. Amen. So this is our last Sunday here. Next Sunday, we're going to move to the new place. The address, where is it? Oh, okay. New place is Scandia Hall. Scandia Hall, and 2031 East Villa Street. In Pasadena, California, right? So that's where we're going to be. Make sure you have it on your phone. You know, why don't you take the address? Well, some people are taking photographs of it. The world has changed, isn't it? Everybody comes to church with a camera. So you don't wait for the church photographer. You go home with your own photos, ones you want to see. Amen. It's a blessing. Yeah. So this is where we meet next Sunday. Now, because it will be our first time there, I want to ask all of you shepherds and all of you who work in the church to come early. Amen. Early means we want to be there. Service starts at 10 o'clock. And we want to be there the latest by 8. That's the last one. Ideally, we want to be there from 7:30. I think I know this is the time. The place opens at 7:30. Oh, you talk to him. Okay, great. So we can talk to the man, so because we need to know where our wires will go, for example. You see, we don't want to get to the church and then run your cables and find out, oh, our cable is too short. Do you see? And then it's time to start the service, so you can go running around. This is what happened to the foolish virgins. You get it. When they realize that our oil is finished, then they decided, let's go get some oil. When they came, it was time, the wedding was even over. And they couldn't come in anymore. So we don't want to be like that. We want to come early, and we want to prepare for all of that. Say amen. And yeah, and then do all the things we have to do and make any adjustments that have to be made so we can fit in there. Once we've done it once, we will know our way around next time, isn't it? We will know how to have a good service in that place. Amen. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to hear the word of God. We pray for your blessing over the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So now let's get to the word of God. And I started sharing with you last week, I was sharing with you a message on why Galatians 6:6, isn't it? Why Galatians 6:6? And I want to continue sharing with you along those same lines. Amen. Now, why is it important to have this teaching? Because we're coming to a threshold of a very important event on our church calendar. Amen. And that is the day when we all come together to honor our pastor and our teacher, who is also our feeder. Amen. Well, our pastor and our teacher is our feeder, because the Bible says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And you understand that knowledge actually comes through teaching. Hallelujah. So then, what he means by pastors who will feed you, because the outcome is knowledge, then what those pastors are doing, which the Bible is calling feeding, is actually teaching. So God equates teaching with feeding. Do you understand? That when you're fed, you're being taught. When you're being taught, you're being fed. Hallelujah. And the way you know that is the outcome, because nobody acquires knowledge except through what? Teaching. Say amen. So that is what we're doing, and that is next Sunday. It's interesting. It's going to coincide with our first day at the new place. And so it's going to be interesting. And but I believe it's going to be fun, and it's going to be a blessed time. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to take this event real seriously. Amen. And to mix it with faith, because we're not trying to ask people to give, or trying to ask people, collect money from people for a needy person or anything like that. But it is a spiritual event. Hallelujah. And the reason why I'm taking time to teach you that is because you're not likely naturally to consider it as a spiritual event. You see, it's at best, it's going to fall into your understanding of doing good. It's like you're being generous and you're being good, you're just benevolent. You understand? It's just another good Christian deed. But you see, this is actually something that goes way beyond that. It is a spiritual event. It's much like communion. Do you understand? It's much like communion. But communion is just bread and wine. And yet it is so supernatural. Hallelujah. Those of you who have been listening to the podcast, Bishop's podcast, and you know, let me take a moment to say that if you don't have the podcast, I really want to encourage you to sign up for the podcast. Anybody here who doesn't have that podcast, raise up your hand. You see, not my podcast. I'm talking about our teacher, our pastor's podcast. Raise up your hand. You see, so Tina and Sam, and our pastor is going to sort you out right after church. Okay, don't leave today without the podcast on your phone, because it's going to change your life. I guarantee you, it's going to change your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is that if you have been listening to the podcast, one of the recent messages, a lady is on there, and she's sharing a testimony. And that reminds me, that brother over there has a testimony. Okay. You'll share the testimony right when I'm done. Okay? Okay. So, a lady is on there who has a testimony about how her mother was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. Now, if you know anything about cancer, it doesn't go up to high school or stage 7 or stage 12 or anything like that. It ends at 4. Do you understand? Yeah. And right from the time it was diagnosed and when it was diagnosed, it was already at stage 4. You know, and so pretty much when people have stage 4 cancer, then it's like they're winding up. Now, somebody advised them to come to one of Bishop's services where they let communion. Do you see? And this, so they brought the mother to the service. She had been abroad, tried to treat her, and, you know, it hadn't worked as well as they thought it would. And they came to the service and they took the communion. And as she was sharing the testimony, she had the new test results. Her cancer cells have disappeared. her body cells are actually better than that of a normal person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, and it's just bread and wine. Do you see what I'm saying? But it is powerful. It is powerful because when you mix it with faith, it becomes something else. Hallelujah. That's why we should never throw communion away after we've prayed over it. Do you get it? Yeah. After we've prayed over it, whatever is left must be eaten. Yeah. Must be eaten. I mean, and don't laugh at people who rush to eat the rest of the bread. It's not just because they're hungry. They may be hungry too, but the reality is they have a revelation that you may not have yet. And you, instead of criticizing them, you better do what they're doing. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So it is very important. It is a spiritual exercise. Amen. It is a spiritual exercise that confers a spiritual blessing upon you. Amen. And that is why I want to encourage all of you to participate. And that is also why I'm taking time to teach you and to help you understand why you must do something like that. So it will be solid. Amen. See, teaching affects your thinking. Hallelujah. Teaching affects your thinking. And your thinking affects your life. Your thinking actually determines the quality of life that you live. You cannot rise above the level of your thinking. You cannot live above the way you think. So, in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, look at it. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, Proverbs 23 and 7, it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you get it? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, you and I know that actually the heart is not for thinking, right? The heart is not for thinking, isn't it? But what he's showing us is the heart represents the core of a person. Do you understand? So sometimes a person has core beliefs, and everybody's life is shaped by their core beliefs. The things you believe deeply at your heart, you get it, the very center of you, you know, those things are the things that determine your life. Hallelujah. That is why, so you see sometimes people hear something, but they do something else. They hear, they even believe what they hear, but they just do something else because that is not what they're thinking in their heart. Hallelujah. So it is very important that we appreciate teaching. Amen. And we're being taught things to shape our thinking and to shape our core beliefs, so that our lives can be affected positively by the things we've been taught. Hallelujah. Right. Now, last week I gave you three reasons why Galatians 6:6, isn't it? What is reason number one? Because teaching is valuable. Number two, because we must give to people what is their due, isn't it? We must give to everyone what is due them. Don't hold back what is due anyone. Hallelujah. When you're supposed to respect someone, respect the person. Hallelujah. Because you will also be doing something, and the way you treat people who are due something from you is the way you will be treated by those from whom you are also due something. Hallelujah. So it is very important. Respect anyone that has to be respected. Anyone that is an authority over you, you must respect the person. Amen. Respect your supervisor at work. Hallelujah. Don't assume that because you're older than your supervisor, you can throw your weight around them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You must respect them because they are your supervisor, because they are your manager, because they are your boss. You must respect them. Give it to them because it is due them. The Bible says there is no authority but of God. Hallelujah. And so that is very, very important. Now, the third reason is what? When you honor the teacher, you honor God himself. Hallelujah. When you honor the teacher, you honor God himself. Because the teacher is actually God teaching you. Isn't it? I think we read a verse last week. We read a verse from Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, which says, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Many people shall say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, isn't it? And he will teach us of his ways. Amen. He will teach us of his ways. So what you learn in the house of God is God teaching you. Do you understand? But you know that, I mean, how many have seen God standing here teaching you? Seen God standing here, you know, maybe dressed in a suit. If God was to wear a suit, what color will it be? You think it will be white? Huh? So all of you in blue and brown and so you are ungodly. I don't know how we came to limit God to white, but considering that he seems to be a God of color, even when he makes people, he makes their skin different shades, isn't it? Makes flowers so many different colors, so many different things. God seems to like color, right? Even makes the ocean, gives it color, then makes it contrast with the air. Isn't it? So you can see where the beach ends and that creates what we call beautiful. And you see that he has taste. That's why trees are not red. You know what I mean? You see, he seems to have taste and he mixes them nicely and everything. So God seems to be a God of color. Well, anyway, but whatever you think, what I'm sure about is that you haven't seen God standing here, you know, wearing a suit, teaching you. But you've been taught by God. Hallelujah. You've been taught by God. God has taught you so many things. You have learned many things in the house of God. Hallelujah. So we must respect that when we come to church, our encounter with the teacher is actually an encounter with God. Say amen. And that understanding is going to bless your life so much. Hallelujah. Right. So today I'm continuing, and I want to go back to the first point. The teaching is valuable. Hallelujah. Teaching is valuable. So I'm going to give you three powerful effects of teaching. Three powerful effects of teaching. Three direct effects of teaching. Three reasons why teaching is valuable. I've given you so many different topics. You choose whichever one you like. Hallelujah. But so long as the word three appears in it, and teaching appears in it, and effect appears in it, you're cool. Amen. Right. Now, the first one is the teaching of the word brings light. Teaching of the word brings light. Now, put Galatians 6:6 back on the screen so we can read it, because that's our foundation. We're springing forth from this verse. It says, let him that is taught. Let's all read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Hallelujah. Does anyone have another version? Do we have another version anywhere? Anyone has another version? Okay. Kawi, you have another version? Okay. The one who is taught the word. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Huh. So now we can do away with communicate. Because people are thinking about cell phones and so on. You get it? So how can I communicate with him when I don't have his number? Right. And you're making the word of God of none effect. Right? So, now we've gotten away with the word communicate. Right. The one who is taught the word is to share with all, is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Hallelujah. Wow. Do you have yet another version? This is all you have? Or you have another one? Okay. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. My goodness. What a word is this? Okay, let's read this one together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Hallelujah. Amen. So really, there are only three things we need to define here. We need to define who is this person who is receiving instruction. Who is he that is taught? Do you understand? That's the first one. Then the second thing we need to define is what the person is being taught. Isn't it? Are you being potty trained in the church? Are you being taught how to drive in the church? No. Right? So if we find who is being taught, and we can confirm that the person is being taught the word of God, then maybe the next thing we need to define is what is a good thing? What do you think? Then what is a good thing? He says all good things, anything that is good. Says share anything that is good. Do you have some good things? Zola, do you have some good things? Yeah? Yeah. Says your teacher is entitled to sharing some of the good things that you have. Do you understand? And then the final thing we need to define is who is this teacher? Hallelujah. Who is the teacher? You know? Who is the teacher? Now, I think the answers are all very clear. Number one, who is being taught is you and me, isn't it? You and I are the ones who are being taught. Number two, it's clear that we are being taught the word of God. Hallelujah. Number three, we know that good things, the good things we have are very easy to define, isn't it? Yeah. So if we take it literally, you're supposed to share all the good things. You're supposed to share your car. Is it a good thing, your car? You're supposed to share it? Yeah? Your dinner? Is it a good thing? You're supposed to share it. Right? Yeah. Your blouse? Is it a good thing? You're supposed to share it. Your iPad? Is it a good thing? You're supposed to share it. Hallelujah. Right. So this is the reason why, you know, you know, money was invented. Money is called a medium of exchange, isn't it? I mean, at its basis or most primary definition of money is a medium of exchange. You understand? It is something that all things can convert to, you see, and then move on in whatever direction they are supposed to move on. Otherwise, we have to take an offering of blouses, offering of iPads, offering of wigs, offering of lady shoes, isn't it? Offering of eyeglasses, offering of what? Leggings, offering of what about the brothers? Belts, what? Wallets, shirts. We have to take offering of all these things. It's going to be a problem. Isn't it? Yeah, it's going to be a problem. So that is why we give it in the form of an offering. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So all good things can be narrowed down to an offering, to a gift, to an offering. All good things, every good thing, you know, because every good thing usually arises out of money first. So what we're doing is returning it back to its original form, so that it can be transferred. Can I have an amen? To be a blessing. And then, who is the teacher? Who is the teacher? Our pastor is the teacher. He said, I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge. So the one who is transferring knowledge into your life, he must be the teacher. Can I have an amen? And you see, we in the Lighthouse are so blessed. We're blessed with someone who's not just a teacher, but an excellent teacher. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Excellent, excellent teacher who has taught us so many things and continues to teach us so many things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Teach us how to live. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to have a quiet time. Teach us about loyalty and disloyalty. Teach us how to plant a church. Give us steps. You know, when people are giving you steps, they are teaching you. Isn't it? Yeah. Because steps are the way we learn things. We learn things by taking one step at a time. Starting from how to walk. You take one step at a time. So when someone is giving you steps, the other day I was listening to a message and just one simple thing. He said, I'm going to give you 27 different reasons or different steps. And I was just thinking, wow, why 27? Means, you know, people would normally give 10, 20, 5, 3. Do you understand? Yeah, maybe 25 for the sake of having a nice rounded figure. But why 27? Do you see? Well, it means that if it's a step and it's in there, it must be brought out. Hallelujah. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. You take the book on modern marriage. You know, every possible problem you can have, do you understand, is discussed in that book. A teaching with scriptures. A teaching with scriptures. Hallelujah. See, teaching is very important because even the natural things that we do still have to be guided. You see, even if you are born with a natural tendency, let's say if you use the bathroom, your mother cannot teach you to feel like using the bathroom. It's not taught. That's a natural feeling. But you see, if you were just left with to go by your natural feeling, hey, we cannot even be here. Is it not true? Yeah? Yeah. So while somebody may not teach you, you know, or may not create the urge to do something in you, once you come up with the urge, however you got it, whether it is a thing of nature or whatever, if God created it in you, now that urge has to be schooled. You see, you have to receive teaching in how to practice what you naturally want to do. So it is, you see, that all human beings naturally gravitate towards living with someone. you can see if you just observe the pattern across countries, across different people, groups, and so on. One thing we all seem to have in common is that we grow up to a point and we want to live with somebody. We want to have a romantic relationship that is permanent. We keep the person inside our house. Is it not true? Yeah. So even where people don't want to marry, they still want to have the person. Is it not true? Yeah. Even where people don't want to accept that the person must be the opposite gender, that they still take the same gender and try to keep the person in the house, and they say they want to marry the person. That's how natural things are. You cannot get away from it. So in rebellion, people even settle for perverted forms of it. Are you getting what I'm saying? But they still want to do it. Right. Now, so I'm saying that even when you have that natural urge to do something, it does not mean that you know how to do it. The urge to do it does not come with the how to do it. So when a little child feels like wee-weeing, it doesn't come with where to wee-wee. It's not natural. That's not part of the feeling. That's where a teacher comes in. So a teacher has to come and show you that it's natural for you to want to do this. Now, when you feel this way, you need to do this and that and that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? So that is the role of the teacher. I mean, marriage is like that. When you take the book, Marriage, Modern Marriage, I mean, you learn how to marry. Do you understand? Yeah, that you will naturally feel like marrying, but how to do it doesn't come with it naturally. That's the truth. That one doesn't come naturally. Someone has to teach you. And we have this one teacher who has taught us and brought us so much knowledge about so many things across so many different areas of our lives. That person must be very valuable to us. Hallelujah. And the Bible says we must contribute to his support. What do you think? Yeah? It says we must contribute to his support. Contributing to his support. That means being a blessing to him financially. Can I have an amen? Is it very clear to everyone? How many can understand it? Right. Okay. Powerful. So let me go back to three powerful effects of teaching. Number one is that teaching brings light. The teaching of the word brings light. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you found it? Yes. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm explaining to you why your teacher is valuable. Hallelujah. Your teacher is valuable, number one, because he brings light into your life. Hallelujah. Through your teacher, God brings light into your life. God brings what? Light into your life. Hallelujah. Now, the absence of light means darkness. And walking in darkness is the cause of stumbling. Hallelujah. One of the characteristics or the features of walking without light is stumbling, and stumbling often. Even tripping over things that are supposed to be steps. You know what a step is supposed to be? A step is supposed to help you go up higher. Do you understand? This thing here connects me to a higher stage. Without this thing here, I'm stuck down here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a step, you know, can actually take you up. But if you take the steps in darkness, then now you're going to trip. Do you see what I'm saying? Now you see that the same thing that was supposed to take you up now becomes the cause of your misery. So if I tripped over here, and you know I'm trying to trip, but I'm too wise. I'm too smart for this tripping. Do you see? Or rather, it's because it's too much light. See, if this was dark, if it was dark here, this wouldn't be difficult to achieve at all. It wouldn't be difficult to trip on something that's supposed to bless you, something that's supposed to make you happy, something that's supposed to lift you up, can be the thing that makes you cry. I mean, if I trip properly on this thing, you'll come and find me sitting at the foot of these steps, crying. Do you understand? Crying at the foot of something that's supposed to elevate me. Something that was supposed to improve my life. Something that was supposed to help me. Something that was supposed to make me a better person. Suddenly has become my reason for being unhappy, my reason for sadness, my reason for constant crying, my reason for misery. The thing that was supposed to take me up. I tell you, but if you take these steps with light, if you find these steps and you take them with light, then suddenly you start to go up and you start to be blessed and your life is greatly improved. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see many things. You can think of many things. You see, people have money. Money. It's supposed to be a blessing. The Bible says it answers all things. But now when you have money without light, you understand? Then the Bible says you can now have a love for money which becomes the root of all evil. Do you get it? So something that was supposed to help you actually becomes the foundation for all the evil that you experience in your life. Hallelujah. You talk about marriage. I mean, you see people, when you see people's faces on their wedding day. I mean, I was at a wedding not too long ago. So, I mean, when I'm talking about a wedding, I know what I'm talking about. I still have some photos. I mean, when you see people's faces and you see their hair, I mean, properly fried. And it's, you know, properly seasoned. And you can see the hair shining. Hey. And the makeup is designed to go with the shoes. Hey. I mean, so far up here, intended to connect with so far down there. I mean, you are supposed to experience the totality of the person. And you know you are looking at real beauty. Yeah. Yeah. That's when you see people who haven't cut their hair for a while. That's where you see them go to the barber. Looking nice and trim and sharp. Hey! Because it's their wedding. Because it's a blessing. The Bible says if a man finds a wife, he's found a good thing. And he obtains favor from God. So it's supposed to elevate your life. You understand? The Bible calls a wife a help, a help, a helper, a suitable helper. That's an appropriate helper. Do you understand? So, I mean, whose life gets worse with help? Everybody's life is supposed to improve with help, isn't it? Your life is supposed to get better with help. So, if things are working as they should, the arrival of a helper should be the arrival of elevation and enhancement in your life. But only if it is taken in light. Only if we take that step in light. Because in darkness, you're going to trip over the same thing that is supposed to bring you happiness and supposed to bring you joy. Are you getting it? And that same thing will be the reason why you've lost your teeth. Yeah, right here you can lose your teeth. Yes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you just miss your steps. That walking in darkness can be costly. I tell you, not knowing something is there can be costly. Did you ever try to wake up in the night to go to the bathroom and you kick the bedpost or something? I mean, you don't know it's there, and you give it your full sleepy swing. I mean, it's so painful, isn't it? So painful, because you're not expecting it, but the cause of it is darkness. How can you expect everything? You can't expect, you don't know what will happen. In life, you can't live expecting everything. Life has surprises. But surprises are easy to deal with, either way. Are you getting what I'm saying? Surprises are real easy to deal with, so long as there is light. If there's light, you know what to do. You know how sometimes you're driving and then somebody suddenly stops in front of you. If you can see him, that's cool, easy. You also apply your brakes, a little irritated, but you just drive by him and you're cool and you're moving on. People have accidents when surprises come up and they can't see it. Sometimes you're coming round a bend. I mean, I had an accident once where I was coming round a bend and there was a vehicle that was broken down right in the bend, just on the corner like that. And I was going down a slope, you know, that part of the road slopes. And, you know, it had rained a little bit. You know, when it starts raining, the road gets kind of slippery. You know, I mean, all the ingredients for an accident were there. Yeah, going down the slope, the car is broken down there, the road is slippery, and I'm also not thinking. It was early in the morning, and I was just driving. I said I was going to pray somewhere, I tell you. And as I came round the bend, here was a surprise, but I couldn't see it. You know, and as I applied my brakes, you know, the wheels are stopped, but the car is not stopped. Yeah. The wheels are done, but the car is not done. So that my car just skidded, and you could see yourself going straight into the car. And I did go straight into the car. Hallelujah. Not hallelujah to that, but hallelujah for the sake of preaching. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. And that is how accidents happen, when you don't see things, when you can't see. So teaching brings light into your life. And he said, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. That is why he said, when you have somebody who teaches you, you know, Kawi, we have to go between this verse and Galatians 6:6 in the nice verse that you brought, okay? When you have somebody who, no, you see, communicate, cell phone is coming again. Take the cell phone off. Right? Bring the Amplified Translation again. It says, the one before the Amplified Translation. Okay. Let him who receives, okay, leave this. It's all right. Just leave it. Let him who receives instruction in the Word of God. Do you understand? Let him who receives instruction in the Word of God. Now, if the Word of God is light, then let him who receives light. Do you understand? Let him who receives light. And in light, anybody who gives you life is due something from you. Anyone who gives you light is due something from you. Isn't it? How many of you have electric bills? You pay for light bills? Yeah, you have light bills. Why? Because someone who helps you see is giving you something valuable, and you must be a blessing to that person. Hallelujah. In this case, he doesn't send you a bill like your light company does. Do you understand? But the Bible says it is your spiritual duty, it's your Christian duty to recognize the light that is coming into your life and the blessing that it is to your life, what it's adding to your life, and respond accordingly by saying thank you with a gift. Can I have an amen?
Hallelujah.
The more darkness you have in your life, the more demons can exist in your life. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Demons operate in darkness. They operate in the areas where you are ignorant, or in the areas where you have refused to accept instruction. Because instruction in the Word is receiving light. When you turn your back on instruction, you allow pockets of darkness to exist in your life. And the pockets of darkness become the harbor of demons and evil spirits. Hallelujah. If you live in a house that has roaches in it, you know, you will find out that the roaches only come out at night. Yeah. You enter a room that has roaches, rats, all those things just come out at night. Even we have some raccoons that have been troubling us. They want to be our pets by force. Yeah. And we have refused to take them in as our pets. Do you understand? But I'm just wondering, they only come out at night. Do you understand? That is why they can't be our pets. Because we are sleeping at night. You see? But they come out at night. And they come and just tear the backyard and just destroy everything in the place and just ruin the whole backyard and so on. Do you understand? But those people, those animals that come to destroy, come in darkness. The devil needs darkness in your life to be able to destroy you. Hallelujah. He needs darkness. He needs you to be ignorant in certain areas of your life. He needs you not to be taught certain things. He needs you not to have the light of the Word of God shining in certain areas of your life, so that demons can actually penetrate and infest that area of your life and take it over and destroy you. Hallelujah. But when the light of the Word of God starts to come, as the Word is taught, spiritual illumination takes place. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A spiritual illumination takes place. Then suddenly healing starts to come. Amen? Healing starts to come. And you see that your whole life starts to turn around because God has started to bless you through the light of the Word of God. Amen. No wonder the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Because the Word is light. Say amen. Right. That is why the devil doesn't want you to get a podcast. But today we'll defeat him in the name of Jesus. That's why when I say podcast, he says, you don't need this. You don't need this. Yeah. Because he knows. He knows that the more light you have, there is as much darkness in your life as there is not light. And the more light you have, the less darkness that will exist in your life. Can I have an amen? And the more light you have, the more victory you have. Never forget the step. If you take the steps with light, you will go up. If you take the same steps but with darkness, you will trip over the same blessings and they will become the source of your misery. Hallelujah. I see you receiving light from the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Now, the second reason why your teacher and his teaching is valuable is that teaching of the Word is the sword in action. The Word of God is the sword in action. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, and read verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Take the what? Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is synonymous with the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, if you read backwards a little bit, let's say to verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil. Wiles means tricks. Tricks. Strategies of the devil. Hallelujah. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The more confusing it is, the more real it is. Do you understand? Even the fact that this is confusing to read shows you that something spiritual is going on. Hallelujah. So he's showing us from this point on how to be able to fight or stand against this. So verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, so you can survive in the evil day, isn't it? And having done all, to stand. Well, when it's over, you must still be standing, because there's no point in dropping dead right after the fight. You see what I'm saying? You win the fight, and then you, right there, you just drop dead. I mean, you just reverse the score. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Right. Then verse 14 starts by saying, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, right? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. So you need faith. Amen? You need faith. And then verse 17 says, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Which is what? The Word of God. So the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And when you are being taught or instructed in the Word of God, it drives away demons, drives away evil spirits, drives away so many things, because it is actually a sword. It is a sword that cuts out things from your life. That is how the Word of God is able to help people break habits. That is why the Word of God, you know, sometimes advice, nice sounding words, don't change people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. I have come to become a believer in the Word. I like to see the Scriptures. Do you understand? I like to see the Scriptures because I believe the Scriptures themselves are powerful. Reading the Bible to someone is powerful whether the person understands it or not. You don't have to understand it for the power to exist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, the Word of God is very powerful. It cuts out things out of people's lives. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 is another popular verse. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, come on. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Can you see that? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah. Now look at how it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. So here, it's not just that it's being compared with a sword. You understand? But the fact that it says it is sharper means it is itself some kind of a cutting something, isn't it? And then the fact that it says it pierces means that it is itself pointed, isn't it? So what he's doing is he's put the Word of God amongst the category of swords. And he's saying that the Word of God is the top sword. Hallelujah. It is a top sword. It is a sword that cuts more, a sword that cuts better. It's the sword that cuts sharper than any other sword. Hallelujah. Any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Man, that is some sword that can pierce and separate your soul from your spirit. Right? Yeah. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. So you can see, no wonder. Let me just share this one real quick with you. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 23, where Jesus is preaching. Right? And there was in their synagogue. Now, read from verse 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Can you see? And he did what? He taught. Hallelujah. Everybody say he taught. Say he entered the synagogue and he taught. Huh. Straightway he taught. Right? Then verse 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Right? Then verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, verse 24, saying, "Leave us alone," or "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, imagine it. A preacher is teaching, and demons are crying, "Leave us alone." Wow. Someone is teaching, and demons are saying, "Leave us alone." What else could that mean? It must mean that teaching has a way of attacking demons. Do you understand? Now, if you think about it this way, see, the power of demons is nested mostly in your agreement with what they propose. Do you see what I'm saying? So, thinking as inspired and directed by demons gives demons power over your life. Hallelujah. So, when you encounter something that is about to change your thinking, that thing is actually a cut in the work of the demon in your life. Hallelujah. That is why demons distract people. Even sometimes when teaching and so on is going, you can see that some people get restless. They cannot, you know, do the things. They want to fall asleep. So many different things. Because demons want to disconnect you from the teaching. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, the demons, the man was in church, but he had an unclean spirit. You see what I'm saying? He was in the service. He was right in the synagogue. But he had an evil spirit in him. And when Jesus was teaching, when the teaching started coming forth, look, teaching is powerful. Teaching is powerful. That is why he said, bring that verse again. Bring Galatians 6. Bring it quickly. Bring Galatians 6 and verse 6. He says, "Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Yeah. It is only a person who does not understand the value of what the teacher is bringing into his life who actually says, "Oh, this is extravagant. This is too much. Why? Why do you have to give to the person? Why do you have to do this?" It's because you don't understand his role in your life. That you can actually be in the church. Go back to the verse 23. You can be in the church. It says, there was a man in the synagogue, right? Mark chapter 1 and 23 says, there was a man in the synagogue. Mark 1, 23. There was a man in their synagogue, right, who had an unclean spirit. A man in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out and he said, "Let us alone. Let us alone. Let us alone." Wow. let us alone. Your teacher is very valuable. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, preaching is a little different from teaching. Do you see? We generally refer to both as preaching, but there's a bit of a difference. Are you getting what I'm saying? We call the person who teaches even a preacher. You see, and sometimes we say the preacher is teaching. But the reality is that there's a difference. One of the differences is that preaching comes with inspiration. And human beings need inspiration. Sometimes you need to be inspired. You need something that just stirs you up. Because inspiration can make you act, can make you do some things. It can make you stand. It can give you encouragement. It can make you do things that you normally wouldn't do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. One of the reasons why there's a lot of destruction when the protests and so on is people are inspired. You see a very quiet person still going to a store to break the window. You know, that is inspiration. That's what it can do. I mean, negative inspiration. You get it. They're inspired by something else. But you see that people are stirred up. They are empowered and emboldened to do things. Do you see? But you notice that the protests don't go on forever. When the protest stops, they don't go around still breaking windows. Do you see? And sometimes preaching is like that. Preaching inspires you for a season. Do you understand? And then it's finished. For you to get into that same, you need to have that same sort of preaching again. But teaching actually alters your thinking. Teaching is like bringing information in your into your life. It is like embedding a chip in your thinking that is going to affect your thinking for as long as you hold on to that teaching. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so the devil knows that when you lose a fight to teaching, you have actually lost the person. Because the one who controls the mind has the person. And when you lose the person, when you lose your control over the person's thinking, you no longer control the person's life. The devil understands that. So as Jesus was teaching, then the demons started shouting, please, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Your teaching is destroying us. Your teaching is displacing us. Your teaching is weakening our hold. Your teaching is taking us out of a place of power. Are you understanding it? That is why they were shouting, leave us alone. So teaching is the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It is the sword of the Spirit, and it will change your life the more of it you are exposed to. Can I have an amen? So you must value teaching. Say amen. Say amen. All right. Now the last one quickly before I close is that teaching of the word is the planting of seed. Teaching of the word is the planting of seed. Hallelujah. Teaching is the planting of the seed. Amen. Now, when you read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, we are introduced to a concept which is known as the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Fruit says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 24, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah. Now, the mention of fruit by itself implies that we're thinking about a plant, isn't it? Right. Now, the fruit, obviously, is everything we want. If you look at, let's go again. Verse 22. Look at the things that. Can you give us your amplified translation again? And we can see. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the things that the Spirit produces, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work of His presence, you know, within, accomplishes, the work that His presence within accomplishes love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, an even temper. Can you see that? Forbearance, keeping up with people, isn't it? Just bearing and putting up with them. Kindness, goodness, goodness is benevolence, isn't it? Yeah. Faithfulness. Next one, verse 22, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control. That is self-restraint. That means you don't do what you feel like doing. What do you think? Yeah? Continence. Huh? Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. Hallelujah. Now, are these not the things we want? These are the things we want. We want these in our lives. We want these in our relationships. We want these in our arrangements with people and so on. Basically, these are the virtues the world celebrates. This is what we all want. Hallelujah. We all admire people who are humble, people who are meek, people who have self-control, people who are temperate, and people who tolerate things and so on. We like such people. Hallelujah. The Bible says they are a fruit. Amen. If we found the fruit, there must be some seed somewhere. Isn't it? There must be a seed somewhere that produces the plant that gives birth to the fruit. And according to Jesus, the seed is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The seed is the Word of God. Amen. So in the verse is Mark 4 and verse 14, Jesus says, the sower soweth the word, right? Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, the sower soweth the word. Can you see that? The sower sows the word. So when the word is coming forth, it is a seed, isn't it? Otherwise, you can't sow it, isn't it? Nobody sews clothes, you don't sew shoes, you don't sew, right? Now, when you use that, say, that word metaphorically to describe, you're actually saying that the clothes you are giving to the person are actually a seed of clothes, isn't it? Right. So, Jesus is saying that the sower sows the word, means that the word is a seed. And when you're being taught the word, seeds are being planted into you. Can I have an amen? Seeds are being planted into you. Now, if you allow the planting to go on, and you allow the watering of the seed to go on, then it won't be long before you're going to start seeing the fruit. It won't be long before you start seeing the fruit. What fruit? The fruit of whatever seed was planted. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the seeds, if you are taught on gentleness, then we will soon see the fruit of gentleness. If you are taught on forbearance, you will soon see the seed of forbearance. If you are taught on being temperate, we're going to see the seed of being temperate also coming forth as a fruit. It's only a matter of time. Are you understanding it? So the sower sows the word. Sows the word. And that is why your teacher is very valuable. That is the reason, bring Galatians 6:6 again, that is the reason why God is saying that the person who teaches you, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Hallelujah. Contributing to what? His support. Keep him alive for yourself. Amen. Contribute to his support and help him to continue being who he is to you so that your life can be affected. Can I have an amen? How many understand the teaching today? God bless you. Stand to your feet and let's bring the word of God and the teaching of the word of God to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, everybody. Just close your eyes. And I want you to pray. I want you to thank God. Many of you have benefited so much from the teachings of Bishop Dad. He's been such a blessing to us as a church, as individuals. Many things you know today, you know them because you listen to him. many things you have today, you have it because you listened to Him. Many things that are working for you today, they are working for you, not because you're good, not because you even learned it from your home, but you were taught the Word. I want you to pray and say, Lord, thank you for giving me such a teacher. Thank you for giving me a teacher. Thank you for blessing me with someone through whom you can teach me, through whom you can bless me, through whom you have downloaded so much into my life. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Everybody pray. And just lift up your voice and pray and thank God for His life. Thank God for the life of your teacher. Thank God for the life of your teacher, for the books. Thank God for the messages, the camps. In the name of Jesus. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. In the name of Jesus. If only you would listen, God has made a provision for you. If only you will obey, God has made such provision for you. God has made such provision for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You, Lord. Father, we thank you. You are the hope for all that we do. That is why we cannot live without your word. That's what makes a person who teaches us your word valuable and precious to us. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for Bishop Bag's life. Thank you for all the books that have been written through him. Thank you for all the teachings, the messages, the podcasts, the camps, the videos, so many different forms of teaching that have been a blessing to us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless him and reward him. Open our eyes, O God, to see his true value to us. And help us to appreciate that gift. Help us to appreciate your work in him, understanding that indeed it is you who is at work in him. Help us to honor the anointing that has taught us. Thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, while every eye is closed, before we close today, it is a good opportunity to give your life to Christ or to rededicate your life to Him. If you're here today and that is the prayer on your heart, or if you're listening to the podcast and you know in your heart that you're not born again, you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you have not expressly committed yourself to God or acknowledged that you are a sinner and that Christ died as a solution for your sins, and that receiving Him into your life will cause your sins to be forgiven by the Lord, and His blood will wash away your sins. This is your opportunity to do that, and it is done through a simple prayer. I want everybody to join me as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I acknowledge I am a sinner.
I acknowledge I am a sinner.
And I know that you died for me.
And I know that you died for me.
Only your blood,
can
wash away my sin.
Can wash away my sin.
So, Lord Jesus,
so, Lord,
please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Make me a true child of God. Make me a true Christian. Yes, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Thank you. Bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together.